Scriptures. Let's open our Bibles, and we'll begin here in chapter 3 this evening. And this is kind of coming to the winding down, Paul's conclusion here to the church of Thessalonica. And I believe that we're going to find that possibly in this third chapter, unlike maybe anywhere else, the urgency, how it's expressed to be ready. I don't know if it's more clear or more stated or more blunt or more bold than anywhere in these two letters that he has written to these dear saints. Be ready. See, getting ready might be too late. It's time to be ready. The time is now. I appreciate how the Word of God says it. The bride, the Lamb's wife, hath made herself ready. She's prepared. She's expecting Him. She's not caught up into the things of this world. They don't have her anymore. She's realized that there is an affection, there's a first love that's come to live and to come to dwell, a calling that had been upon her life. I don't know for how long, but she finally responds to it. Says, Lord, I will go. And she continues on, undeterred. There's a mark, there's a prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And it's worth everything. There's nothing that could ever be compared. Not a trial, not a temptation, not a tribulation. It's not even worthy to be compared for the glory that shall be revealed within her. And brothers and sisters, you know that God has put you, again, by grace, that offering is to you. Glory revealed in us. Glorified together with Him. So in that, I'm just so grateful to God. And let's begin here in this third chapter. He says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Now, Paul, over and over throughout every one of his epistles, sought the prayers of the saints. He coveted those prayers. And I think from time to time how funny it's, I've heard different Christians say, don't pray for me. You don't even realize what you're saying. You should covet and be thankful, appreciate and encourage people. Not that it's all about you, but appreciate the prayers of the saints. When people are praying for you and people that truly know the Lord and truly know the power of prayer, don't ever stop that. That's the only thing that's going to help you. And praise be to God, this brother knew that. And may this truly be a testimony to the power of prayer. That as we rejoiced on Sunday morning, the power that is in Jesus' name. And I'm not talking about people that say, oh, I'm praying for you. And we're going to say prayers. Because you know how, no matter if it's our national TV and all of these things, and we even have National Prayer Day now. Now, a lot of people say, well, don't you think that's good? I said, yes, if it's in Jesus' name. If it's not, you might as well have done anything else you wanted. Because it did absolutely nothing. Nothing but rob you in thinking that it actually did something. Somehow you were able to get to God without the name of Jesus. It doesn't work. It doesn't happen. The power that is in that name. The immediate faith. By the grace of God, that when we truly pray, and the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. When we pray in the will of God, we receive it. When you pray in the will of God, He doesn't withhold. He freely gives. And that's something I'm finding out, that Lord, Thy will be done. Cause me to will and to do of Your good pleasure. And I'm talking about in my heartfelt prayer and thought. God, let it be moved of You. And I'm telling you, you will see things happen. You will see the incredible... you talk about miracles. Praying in the will of God makes all things possible. Nothing is too big for God. We pray and we truly do receive. So, He asks for their prayers here in this first verse. But notice what He's asking for. He's asking for the most precious thing. And praise God, may this be the most precious thing to us. He's asking prayer for the word of the Lord that it would have free course, and that it would be glorified. So important. And this word course means to run. So what he's saying here is that it would freely run, and that it would be able to be glorified in them, and in their giving out the Word of God in that ministry. And you see, so many people think that just because someone has the truth, just because someone has the truth, does not mean that it's running and being glorified in them. I want you to know that. And that's an absolute truth. That I am sad to say there are many that know this truth, and yet they're not running for the glorious crown. There's no evidence of it. And why? Because there's no love. Without love, it profits nothing. That divine love, that agape love, that's what's going to turn it on. That's what's going to bring the very power of His might. That's that wonderful power of His might that sheds the love of God abroad in our heart. Truth in love is when the Word of God runs deep in us. When the Word of God runs deep in you, there will be a joy unspeakable and full of glory. You will live a life of rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It just happens. It's like a bubbling stream. It doesn't try. It just bubbles. It can't help it. It just is so full, it bubbles over. And that's what the love of God does in our life. That's when we say, Lord, I'm a yielded vessel by Your grace, and I want this to come and live in me. That joy unspeakable and full of glory life that becomes unleashed in us. It's an amazing thing. Christ in me, the hope of glory, it actually becomes a reality. It becomes your life. It becomes your purpose for life. I was thinking how there's that book that's been out a long time, and the Lord's dealing with me about a lot of things on this, about that purpose-driven life. I appreciate however and whoever it's ever helped, but it's more than that. It's a purpose-given life. And it is. It's grace. It's grace. And I'm so thankful to God that it's given. It's all given. Every tool is there. We're without excuse. It's been given. And that's my purpose, by His grace, is to receive that, to allow it just to grow, be magnified, and continue to expand in me as that wineskin, and allow it, dear God, to expand Christ in me. So, when we do realize how great a love wherewith we are loved, see, that's what it finally gets to, doesn't it? The light went on. I'm loved. I'm loved with love that will never let me go. I'm loved with love that I never deserved. I'm loved with love that will continue to love and grow greater. And that's just amazing. And you talk about a pick-me-upper. I don't care how dry it is. I don't care how down you've been. When you get on your knees and you say, Lord, let me see the love of God. Let me see it like I've never seen it before. Bring it to me. I see how You love me. I want to see it more. Every single time, without fail, He picks me up. It's a rise. Look up. Praise God. I'm nigh. I'm nigh to You. So how wonderful that is. But see, we become a vessel when we start realizing that. That bestows His glory. That magnifies His glory. That grows from glory to glory. And finally, one day, as I think of that sweet brother who came here and said, well, I was trying to memorize everybody's name, so I couldn't, and I was writing down, and I didn't know everybody's name, so he started calling this different saint over here, Jesus Lady, and all these things. But see, one day what happens finally is that from glory to glory just becomes, they can't help see anything but Christ in you. Christ in me, the hope of glory, just becomes evident. It's there. There's no doubt. You just radiate with the glory of God. With His love, it just becomes something that just is. You learn to be. I don't try to do. I just be. I know that grammatically that isn't right, but I'll tell you spiritually, that's everything. Be who you are in Christ. Let Him be who He is in you. It's amazing what will happen in your life. Praise be to God. But it's magnificent. And then Paul finally compliments him in this first verse, and I love it. As it is with you. So they have this great potential. Think of it. And He's speaking to us today, as it is with you. I believe we want this, brothers and sisters. We're running. We've run well. But not that we've apprehended. But we're running to apprehend. We're trusting in His faithfulness, that His grace, which is always there, will be sufficient every single moment for us to attain this. But immediately He goes on to the hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. That's the message that's coming out here, just like it was to the Philadelphia church in Revelation 3. Let's go ahead and read verse 2. That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So there's an evident battle going on here. And it says here that they're unreasonable. That means perverse and wicked men. You think about when He went to speak to these people in the first place. Remember, He was there 3 weeks? Why did He leave? He kind of had to flee, didn't He? There were certain ones that were coming up there, mainly out of the synagogues, that were going to go kill Him. That He was bringing the things of the Word of God in there and they didn't want it. And then He fled to Berea. And those ones were so wicked that they even followed Him there. They were going to kill Him. So then He finally had to flee Berea, and then He finally ends up in Athens to find His reprieve. And you think what a hole Athens was. And I think how amazing it is, because that's where He kind of figured out and started getting around the Corinthians eventually and all of that. But how amazing it is that, for the most part, the churches that loved Paul's gospel the most happened to be cities where the Christians were persecuted the most, if you think about that. The ones that they really didn't take on too much, like the Corinthians and all the problems they had, oh, he could stay there for as long as he wanted. You're not of any effect anyways, brother. You can just stay on in here. But boy, I'll tell you what, where those ones just went after it hook, line, and sinker, and they were becoming the Philadelphia Saints, there was an uproar there. They wanted to kill them. They wanted them out of there. And I think of how precious the Lord is. Even in the most corrupt and vile places, if there's a heart for God, He'll go get it. He'll go get it. And sometimes He even has to send us in places like that, like we've been rejoicing about Joseph. How He sent that dear, in a sense, if you want to say, an innocent young man and a loving man who knew the Lord, He sent him right into the pit. He sent him right into the pit to magnify that if He be for you, who could be against you? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthen me. Praise be to God. So we're so thankful for that. But notice here what caused these men to be unreasonable and wicked. Because they didn't have faith. That's what causes anybody to be unreasonable and wicked. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You cannot help it. Because war is in the heart of man. I'm sorry, I just think it's so funny to see so many times you see these people that have the fish with the little legs on the back of their car, you know, and then they have the peace sticker and no war and all of this. And I'm thinking, well, let me tell you something. If you've never accepted Christ, and some of those nuts, believe it or not, they've tried to reject and things. And I know there's a few Christians that have been carried away with lots of different things. So you go read Romans 1. And apart from God, what can happen in your life? You're not, you know, but for the grace of God, there go I. Remember that. You're not, apart from Him, there isn't, you don't realize how low you could go. But, see, war is in the heart of man. And only God can take that out. Only Christ can bring any goodness. The only goodness that there is from God. The only goodness of God was placed in one place. And that was in His Son, Jesus. And only Christ being in us can give us that goodness. And if we've missed Christ, we've missed it all. I don't care how friendly your friend is. I don't care how friendly your neighbor is. If they don't have Christ, God may cause them to be good to you. And that's wonderful. And I have some friends that do not believe in the Lord as their Savior. And they're very kind to me. But I know it's God that causes that. Yeah, He can use a lot of different things. But be a witness. Don't just succumb to that and say, well, we'll just go that way. Because I know people that even get mystified. Let me tell you something. It's a shame such a good guy will go to hell. But some of the most moral people, people that have been the most valiant in a sense, maybe in this entire world, they don't have Jesus Christ, they're hellbound. Or they're in hell. Do you believe the word or not? I remember a young man in my house. He was very upset about a young friend of his that was afflicted and was in his early 20s. And he tried to talk to about the word of God many times to lead him to the Lord. So that age of accountability had come. I knew it had, definitely. And he was in a wheelchair all of his life. And a good young kid, and I guess, and all of these different things. And this young man that I was dealing with, he knew the Lord as Savior, and he knew the Word of God filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet he was trying to sit there and argue with me that God wouldn't send that person to hell. And I said, now let me tell you something. God doesn't send anybody there. They make that choice. But let me tell you something. If he didn't choose Christ, he's there. And that was a hard thing. But you know what? Better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. And by the grace of God, I'm going to tell you the truth. Where else am I going to go? And that's the truth. Where else are you going to go? You know, tell you, we stand for something or you're going to fall for anything. And that is the truth as well, too. So, we know that the goodness comes from Christ. So, if I also want to say this. If you find yourself sometimes being unreasonable to Christians, it might be found right here that you're not operating in faith. What do you think of that? Huh? You keep butting your head up against people that are truly in faith and love the Lord. Could be because you're operating out of the will of God. Probably is. I wonder how I know that. God help me, huh? All right. And please understand the last statement here. It's not just implying it. There is but one faith. You understand that? It's always hurt my heart when people say, oh, well, he's of this faith or this faith or this faith. Uh-uh. There's one faith. That's it. This world can define it as that or whatever they want to do, but I go by what the Word of God says. All men have not faith, it says here. Okay? So we know that. They can have a belief. They can have a religion. You can have as many of those as you want. But there's only one faith. And that faith is in Jesus Christ. So, always hold that dear to your life and approach that in love. We don't need to be argumentative, just standing. Verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. Boy, isn't that true. Who shall establish you and keep you from evil. So, even though there was this disturbance, even though there was this wickedness going around, even though there were ones that were trying to be unreasonable and hurt them, the Lord is faithful. See how quickly the Holy Spirit came in and encouraged Paul in his heart. You don't need to look on what's out here. Remember, peace is not about what's going on out here. Peace is about what's going on in here. And we've all been there. We all have. On either side of it. I love this side. When it's all chaos out here and it's just peace in here. And yet I've been on the other side of that when, you know, everything's going good and everything's wonderful and it couldn't be any better out here, but it's a wreck in here. Yeah. I know that very, very well. And I remember God dealing with me about that when I was about 18, to the extent that, you know, whether it's ending a life or all of these different things that the enemy wants you to do, remember, it's not about what's out here. It's about what's in here. It's about what's going on in here. It's about feeding, saturating, about that love of God truly allowing me to believe His Word and my expectation being in Him, not in people, not in a job, not in my family, not in all of these events, but truly just saying, Lord, You're my expectation. Lord, I just am so thankful I love You. You're causing that relationship to just be so real. That it doesn't matter. I have You. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. My day hasn't come yet. Because I'm expecting my day will be at the beginning of the Lord's day. Gives me chills thinking about it. So that's what I'm expecting. And only He can do that. So praise His name. So the Lord is faithful, Brother Paul says here. He's saying it's not me. It's not my ministers. It's only the Lord that's faithful. And the Lord will perform it. He'll perfect it. He'll finish the good work that He's begun. And brothers and sisters, it's Him that will establish you and keep you from evil. And always know it's in that order. so often, and see, this is what religion does. Well, we're somehow going to keep ourselves from evil, and that makes us established or something better. No. We get established in Him. This is what establishes us right here. It's the Word of God. You can try to make change after change in your life. But you know, isn't it amazing when you try to do that, you just go right back to the circle. That was kind of a nice way to say it. Word of God says you just return to your own vomit. Okay? I love the Lord. He tells it like it is. You know, you talk farmer talk. That's good. And it is. He doesn't beat around the bush. The only change is going to come when He establishes us in the Word of God. And here's exactly what He's saying. You become established in His Word. You fall in love with this Word. It will effectually work in you as you believe it. And as you believe it, you know what will happen? It'll keep you from evil. He keeps us from evil. That's the Word of God that keeps us from evil, isn't it? And how does the Word of God keep us from evil? You know what it does? It convicts your heart. As it says, cause me to will and to do of His good pleasure. That's what it is. I've told you many times, and I know you have the same testimony. I was bent to do the wrong thing. I was absolutely done in my mind. I was going through with that. Most of the time before I ever got there or got in the car, it was over. You know? And it really wasn't that bad. Matter of fact, it wasn't even bad at all in a sense in the eyes of the world. But there was a conflict with my spirit in doing it. And you know what? I didn't have the liberty to do that. And by the grace of God, He came in and He convicted my heart. Do you understand that? See, this is getting deep in the things of God, is that we have to understand what our liberties are. Just because it might be for this brother, it might not be for me. And vice versa. And God forbid I would ever let my liberty stumble you. God give us discernment that way. I know many a Christian that say, well, don't tell me what to do. I'm going to live my life like I want it. And I'll live it right in your face. Well, I don't hear any of the love of God in that. I don't know about you. You're my brother and sister in Christ. I don't want to fight with you that way. God don't want me to do that. And truly, if I'm running after His best, He's telling me to settle down in marriage with you. And I don't know about you married ones, but I sure don't like fighting with my wife. It's not fun. Someday you got to go to bed. Uh-oh. I see some heads dropping back there, but I'm going to be quiet. All right, I'll stay with the study. And Brother Hill used to say, I'll quit meddling, huh? I guess that only happens in my home sometimes. All right, so let's know that it's in that order, that He convicts our heart to will and to do of His good pleasure. And I want us to know, too, that the opposite is true here as well. See, we depart or neglect the truth. If we neglect or depart from the truth, evil seeps into our life. It does. God's the only one that keeps you from it. When you grow complacent, when you grow cold to the things of God, that's, believe it or not, that's an evil place to be. All right, verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you. That's so personal. The Lord touching us. That ye both do and will do the things which we command you. So here is the faithfulness of the Lord that we just read about. And in that faithfulness, Paul is putting his confidence in the Lord to touch them. We really need to do that, don't we? We pray one for another, and you leave it there. I don't have to get in there and do it. And the Lord had to teach me that, and continues to teach me that, because I would want to do something. But you know what? By the grace of God, He said, son, just plant and water. I'll give the increase. And if He doesn't give the increase, it's never going to increase. We can try it. I can, you know, do this or that. Now, I'm not talking about just doing nothing. I'm saying, you know, this when you're motivated of the Lord, that's one thing. But you can't do a thing. And that all-powerful prayer is how He began this wonderful chapter. And this is what He's talking about. brothers and sisters, we need to trust the Lord. We need to take the burden to the Lord and leave it there. And to trust Him with it. And to say, Lord, it's yours. I have confidence that you're going to take care of this matter. Now, Brother Paul said, in that, He touches you. He's the potter, isn't He? I'm the clay. He's the one that's painting this masterpiece, brothers and sisters. The Word of God says we are His workmanship. And He says, then you will do the things which we command. Now that's kind of a tough one, isn't it, for some people? We're going to do the things that you command? Yeah. Not that Paul was over them, but if you want God's best, Paul's gospel better be over you, better be in you, better be everything to you. If you're going to truly win Him, as bridegroom, this is the message. This is the only way it's going to happen. You think about it. Now, Jesus Christ, He died upon that cross. It is finished. If that's all there was, if that's all the truth that would come out, it was over. He would have wrapped it up. If it was just about salvation. But it didn't stop there, did it? Shortly thereafter, the day of Pentecost occurred. He's with you and shall be in you. The very power of my might. I want you to be led into all truth. He said to those disciples, I have many things to say unto you. And you would think naturally, well, why would the Lord ever hold back? He never did hold back. He just knew that they couldn't receive it then. Be like having a 3-year-old and I'm breaking out the algebra book and say, well, we're going to get at it early, son. I want you to understand what we're going to hit here. And when you're 5, we'll hit trigonometry. Well, that's foolishness. You're laughing, aren't you? Because there's not the capacity there to understand it, is there? It's the same difference. Till you get the Holy Spirit in your life, you will not have the capacity. Because the capacity that it takes here is the love of God. And the only one that can bring that agape love, that divine love into your life to receive the depth, yea, the deep things of God, is the Holy Spirit. That's it. Him. The Comforter. We've been through some tough things, haven't we, lately, brothers and sisters? But does the comfort of my coming draweth nigh, does that hit you just fine? Can I wait patiently for the appearing of the Lord even through all this? That's what the Comforter does. Not just that I'm going to see Jesus someday. That's wonderful, anybody looking for the Lord. But to love His appearing. Love it. As a bridegroom. As a bride looks for Him, as He looks for her. I've told you many times about courting my wife, how I would just fly down that concourse to see her. And if there was ever a time I was early, I was early. Anticipating that moment. Okay. So He is the faithful one. And that touch that He touches us with, brothers and sisters, it's grace. Always know that. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. That's His love. It's His unmerited love. That's what continues to mold us and make us after His will. It's His grace. And praise God, He prayed that it would move in them, that they would yield to this high calling message that the Lord had put upon His heart. All right, verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Well, isn't that a coincidence? We're talking about that now. And into the patient waiting for Christ. So this is the Lord directing this. And do appreciate this. You're sheep. He directs sheep, doesn't He? See, sheep are led. They follow. I appreciated a brother mentioning the other day that, see, he didn't call us cows. Gotta watch how I say that. Because, see, cows aren't led. They, you know, they don't have the staff and say, come on, cows. They don't do that, do they? They'd be all over the place. Cows are driven, right? They're herded. And you got to, you know, go out and get them all the time. Now, sheep do too. But sheep follow. Isn't that wonderful? So here it is that the Lord directs, and He is directing, and it's His hand. And He always directs and leads us, pointing to one thing and one thing only. It's His love, His grace, His unmerited favor. And what is all of that? It's the blood of Jesus. It is Jesus. That's the love of God. It was all put in His Son. God so loved the world, He so loved the world that He put it in one package. Everything's there. And I appreciated when the Lord hit me with that. He said, or I should say, my Father, God. He said, I'm all in, son. And I know He told that to me. He put that right in my heart. I have no more to give. I'm all in. What about you? It's like telling Brother McLam I love him. He tells me I love you more. Isn't that wonderful? But see, we're called to know all the dimensions of that love. To understand that it's everlasting. That it's to all men. And that it's freely given. Christ died for all men. Okay? Everyone. He would that all men be saved. Know that. See, when you really embrace that, know that, then you're going to have that compassion for souls. You're not going to have a hard time loving anybody. I know we say from time to time, well, I'm a little harder to love, or you're a little harder to love. Nope. Was it hard for Jesus to love? He just loved. Because He is love. That's what the Lord is. So, by the grace of God, may we pray that, Lord, we can love like that. And it is a precious thing. So, seek that kind of love. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift. And it is His love that causes us to wait patiently for the appearing of the Lord. See, when we find out truly how great that love is, how magnificent that love is, how wonderful that love is. We kind of already expressed it earlier. It's worth the wait. It's absolutely worth the wait. Lord, that love can cause me to endure. As you, that love that was set before you, or that joy that was set before you, that's what that joy is. It's that love and all that. Because of that, He endured the cross. Because of His love for me and how He loves me. That's what's causing this life to endure the sufferings, temporal sufferings. Isn't that wonderful? That are about us right now. Because it's going to work to that far greater glory. So, we understand that it's not our nature to be patient. Because we are impatient. Just face it. We're immediate gratification beings. And we're growing more and more so because that's the way our society's going. But through and in His love, all things are possible. I found in my life the only thing that's ever changed this man is the love of God. That's it. That's my testimony. Anything that's ever changed in here has been because of the love of God. And I will tell you something. The love of God will change you. He'll change you so mightily. He'll change you so fast. And He will. It can be absolutely immediate. You may think that, oh, you know, this and this and this. No. When the love of God comes in, it is just amazing how quickly it can change us. And can change us even into the patient waiting for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now think about that patient waiting. That's everything in my life becomes a patient waiting. Now isn't that special? I can wait for a job. I can wait for an opportunity that I might be seeking. I'll be patient for that. Lord, patient in the tribulation or the trial that you have me in. How about patiently waiting for a significant other? I've seen people rush that so many times. It was interesting today, and I don't really know why I said it, but my older son and I were speaking of just some different things, and he had said something about the Word of God and about the Lord and about how, I guess he was just, you know, thinking about how all of these people in this meeting here were brought in from all these different places to come to this place to hear this message. Now, you could say that about a lot of things. Now, don't get me wrong, but it was just, you could see it was really becoming something divine to him. And he just started talking about it, and I'm driving the car and I'm almost wrecking, thinking, who is this over here? This is my son. You know, and I go, whoa, I might have to pull over. But he was saying, you know, Dad, it's just marvelous. He said that truly that God prepared this place and these people, and he knew that they would be here, or he would bring them here. And he said, and we have internet ministry, we have these different things where people are hearing it fringes throughout the country and the world even, but how significant it was to him that God had brought it in this, it's here. God divinely brought Brother Hill with that message here. And people have gone out with this message many other places, but it happened here. And he got it. And then we kind of got to talking a little bit about it. And I said, now, because he had said a couple things earlier. I said, you be patient. If Jesus tarry, he'll bring you someone someday that will love this truth. And then you'll really have something. And she's not here so I can talk about her. But I said, he brought me your mom. Out of Texas, way far away. And I'm thankful to God that he caused me to be patient. And it's worth the wait. Amen. All right. Now nobody say anything. So, in that waiting, we can abide in righteousness and holiness. And I think also in this verse of note, which is important to just touch on real briefly here, is there seems to be a diversion from the first letter. We understand that here. There's things that are starting to slip a little bit. You know, we've read about how these different brothers even have come in and distorted the truth. And we're changing things. And it's so sad. But what was going to cure it all was they needed this injection of love. You need an increase of love in your life. I do too. You know why? Because if the Lord tarry, I'm going to face tomorrow. And he's got to bring more love in for tomorrow. Because I know that that level of test is going to grow greater and greater and greater because he loves me. He loves you. And that, you know, you've heard the expression, game on. It is on. And it's a race that's on. And it's for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's to win him. So it's coming. I'm not, you know, don't approach it like this. Sometimes I do. But it's, thank you, Lord. You've counted me worthy to receive this. And I'm confident in your faithfulness that you're going to bring me the grace. So I don't have to approach it like this. I can approach it like this. I know what I'm going to need tomorrow. Same thing I needed today. A whole lot of grace. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's go on to verse 6. Now, we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. So these are Christians. And not after the tradition which he received of us. So he's speaking specifically to him and to all of them, but not that this brother received the same truth, the same message. You see what I'm saying here? You've heard it many times. You're marked. He's counted you worthy to hear this. And to whom much is given, much is required. People that pass through here, I tried to explain to them. I'm not, you know, trying to grab you to get anything out of you. It's the love of God grabbing you to put it in you. God wants you to realize what he wants to do in you. You have to realize you're not going to do anything for him until he works in you. And then his will and his pleasure comes out. And that's a marvelous thing. But it's all his work. So here it is. We command you. And this word, it means here, order. This is order. I order you. Paul is serious here in the Holy Spirit. Kind of as a loving general to his troops. He's calling them. He's saying, fall in. You've heard that? Fall in. Pay attention. And he's commanding them. And this is a prayer, if you see this here. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's praying as he's saying this. This is a pleading of the heart. And it's to get away from them. And to have no fellowship with brothers that have walked away from the truth. We're talking about a high calling message here. We're going to speak about this tradition in a moment. Now this doesn't mean not to love them. Absolutely not. You by the grace of God you love, and you should even love them greater. There should be not just compassion, but passion for your brother or sister in Christ that's having a hard time. But these specifically have bucked up against God's Word, the doctrine, Paul's message. Follow me as I follow Christ. The secrets of men are going to be judged according to my gospel. This is serious. Now, these are ones that are defiant towards Paul's gospel. As we read through this text, they were either creating add-ons, add-ins, take-outs, whatever it was. But when people start doing that with the gospel, get away. Get away from it. There's no fellowship there. When people are starting to distort the truth, you speak as the Holy Spirit gives you utterance to stand in defense of the gospel. But if they're not going to go that way, you depart and you get away. And this word disorderly is found three times in the Word of God. Three times. And they're all found right in this chapter. And this word disorderly, it means out of rank. Isn't that wonderful? It really is. I mean, it's just, it hits it right on the head. When you depart as a Christian, like it says here, this was not after the traditions which he received of us. He had received this. Do you understand that? This message was given to them. This high calling of God in Christ Jesus, this is so pertinent to this meeting. This is given to you. This is given by the grace of God to everyone that's ever sat in this meeting. Now, I don't know if they've received it or not, but I hope they have. But these are ones that had received it. And what have they done with it? They departed. They're disorderly. They're out of rank. They're deviating from order. They were called to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus into that message. And they're out of rank, and they're out of rank for one reason, because they're not following Paul's gospel. There's something more important. What's more important? There isn't. They're just being deceived. And that's what it is. And I've seen it happen a lot of ways. Oh, I've heard that before. We got to go twist it, make it different. We'll get more people in here. I've seen it happen this way. Well, we didn't like that preacher, so we're going over here and we're going to have the doctrine, but we're going to add a new doctrine on that doctrine. And you can't have anything to do with the people over in that church because we left that church. And we have to denounce and we have to do all of these things. And let me tell you something, that's just not for an isolated incident here. It happens pretty much everywhere because you know what? The devil pretty much got his same old tricks everywhere. He works to bitterness, he works to hatred, he works to jealousy, he works to anger, he works to a lot of things. And but for the grace of God, any of us would go that way too. Do you know that? That's why we need to fervently pray. It says not to have fellowship, but it doesn't say not to pray. Do you know that? See, prayer is love. Because when I enter in before the throne of grace, I'm entering there in the love of God to pray for them. And Lord, pray for my heart. Because nothing's going to change, really, at least in my world, unless it changes in here first. The change has to happen here. The love of God has to be effectually working here. And then as you go out and as you fellowship, I'm telling you something, that can change hearts. They can say, man, you mean that guy really does love me? He doesn't harbor any bitterness. I can't imagine that. Or maybe you did and the love of God changed you. And now what a testimony that is. Now it might take a while for them to come around, but you know what? The love of God has a great testimony. And that testimony is it's the real deal. So praise the Lord. So they were out of rank because they didn't hold the tradition. And I want us to understand that these are not traditions that were passed down by elders or cultures or things of that. The tradition that Paul's speaking about here is it's the Word of God. And it's the Word of God that was passed through Paul's gospel. And what he's saying here is what we delivered and spoke to you, it's been distorted. And if these brothers distort it, get away from it before ye walk disorderly too. Uh-oh. Yeah. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And compromise, brothers and sisters, always leads. Compromise always leads to surrendering your crown. You'll surrender that crown, that high calling crown, when you compromise. And it'll come quick. Sin begat sin, just as glory begats glory. It's the Word of God. I'm just so thankful for it. All right, let's go verse 7 and we'll close it out and we'll stop there for tonight. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. See, there's a choice. There's a choice to yielding. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. And I think this is such a precious verse. Ye ought to know. Brothers and sisters, we're without excuse. You can tell me, you know, what parents or lack of parents, and I'm not trying to sound uncaring, that you were born to. What side of the tracks is they say you were born to, or your socio upbringing, or ethnic, or whatever it may be. Let me tell you something, without excuse. God said, I would that all men be saved. And He didn't stop there. And come to a full knowledge of the truth. And you know what? God doesn't lie. And He's not a respecter of person. So He knows. And we are without excuse. And these brothers and sisters are completely without excuse because they've been given the message in fullness. They were delivered a message in power and demonstration of the Spirit. So ye should follow Paul as he followed Christ. And Paul says here, by the grace of God, we were always in rank. We didn't act disorderly. We held that fast which thou hast, that no man take the crown. He always followed and embraced that message. There's a precious verse that says, in a sense, he practiced what he preached. They that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. What do you think, brothers and sisters? Amen? Amen. The joy of the Lord. That word would have free course and be glorified in you. That's what He wants. Not just knowing it up here, but living it in my heart. That's what's going to work effectually. That's what's going to change my life and others. He practiced what he preached. Paul followed Paul's gospel. And I know you're thinking, well, wouldn't he? How many hypocrites do you know? I don't want to hear. And I appreciated a couple of them pointing to themselves. Yeah, you know it. But for the grace of God. Paul had to follow that gospel too by grace. Just because he was given that, he still had to, by the grace of God, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man took his crown. And wasn't it monumental at the end? He said, I'm ready to be offered. And it wasn't, oh, I did it. Uh-uh. God, you did it. You did it. You strengthened me in everything. And now I'm ready to be offered. It's coming. So Paul's gospel, brothers and sisters, is the must for the wife. Because the wife, the true wife, does not leave his side. Uh-uh. She has passion. She has a love for the truth. A love for the truth. We'll stop there, and I pray this has encouraged you. I'll tell you, it's endless. It really is. I know sometimes may think, well, we only got in 7 verses tonight. Tell you what, you could spend a lifetime and not get out of one word. And you better know that. You really should. So let's stand and be dismissed.